One of the most noted parts of the Bible is the Ten Commandments presented in Exodus 20. Today, we present an archived sermon by Brother David Johnson that will discuss the seventh commandment found in verse 14, "You shall not commit adultery." He will show us that God still expects us to obey His commandments as were written many years ago. You are listening to the Words of Life program presented each week by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We now present praise for our Lord in song. Please join me with prayer. Lord, as we bow before you, we recognize your authority and sovereignty. Help us to obey what you have directed, and help us to learn more about what you expect. We are thankful for your love and the forgiveness that is found only in Jesus. Help those who are upholding your teachings of Jesus through local congregations and mission work and evangelistic efforts. We know that some of our listeners are facing health concerns and others are troubled in this life. Please bless them. And as always, we want to be found ready for the appearing of Jesus to take us to be with Him. Thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Using an archived sermon from Words of Life, we will now hear Brother David Johnson speak on the topic, Not Commit Adultery, from Exodus 20:14.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Not Commit Adultery. And our key text is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, which says, You shall not commit adultery. This is the Word of God. It should be crystal clear. There is no wiggle room. God is very explicit that sexual sin in marriage, and as we shall see, outside of marriage, not approved by God, always any sin is an abomination to God, but sexual sin is particularly offensive to God. And this is applicable to both men and women. The commandment against adultery, which is marital unfaithfulness, protects the sacredness of the marriage relationship. God had himself instituted marriage between a man and a woman at creation, and had blessed it, as referred to in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, that says in part, God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. So married couples were to have children as God blessed. Studies show that today, about 90% of intimate sex portrayed on television and in movies is between unmarried persons. Now that's Hollywood. That's the world's way. But God's way is holiness, which includes sexual purity before marriage, during marriage, and after marriage, physically and mentally. Sexual intimacy is not evil. In fact, God created and provided for it according to His way, the right way, not the wrong way. Sadly, according to studies in America, today, in the 21st century, surveys indicate that about 70% of husbands and even 50% of wives have been involved in physical adultery. That should not be. Moreover, many today believe sexual promiscuity is not immoral. Today, terms such as casual sex and recreational sex and safe sex are all widely used and practiced. However, Scripture refers only to sacred sex, set apart intimacy suited only for marriage between a man and a woman, even in Christendom. I recall a conversation with an elder of a certain denomination that claimed that his son had healthy, safe sex, which was only natural and normal, outside of marriage. But believers, Christians, are called to a higher standard. God's standard, not what is normal and natural for the world. The Bible is not prudish regarding sexuality, and quite blunt and clear as to what is moral and what is immoral according to our Creator. You can look for yourselves to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, and the 18th chapter in particular, that could and can make many of us blush regarding its graphic details of immoral sex, which has not changed from Moses' day to today. For example, in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord. God's lordship demands that we obey Him, as many more sinful sexual acts are prohibited, down to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 24 that says, Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Then and today, to commit sexual sin is to defile oneself. Defile in the original Hebrew means to make impure, to profane. Defile in English has the idea also to make dirty, to pollute, to be foul, to corrupt, to desecrate. The Bible also, in stark contrast, celebrates the beauty and the wonder of romantic intimacy and love between a husband and a wife. Particularly in Solomon's book, the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. Of course, also inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. The descriptions are of a loving, romantic covenant between a man and a woman into a marriage commitment. Consider the Song of Songs, chapter 4, and verses 11 and 12, which says, "Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain." This is romantic poetry, imagery with anticipation and amorous love. Lips or kisses sweet as honeycomb and honey, fragrance like Lebanon, famous for its cedar forests. A garden locked up, a spring enclosed and sealed, and a sealed fountain are all imagery of his bride as inaccessible to any other man. The bride is accessible only to her husband. So here Solomon is praising his bride's virginity and purity as it should be for all preparing to marry. His bride preserved her purity for her husband to be. And my sister, my bride, was a common ancient Near Eastern term of endearment, of closeness by a husband for his wife. It expressed the permanence of relationship like a sister to a brother. Today, we often hear the term partners instead of bride or groom or husband or wife. Partners is for playing cards, not a commitment of a bride and groom for a lifetime. Adultery, marital infidelity, unfaithfulness breaks the honored sacred bond and vow of marriage. Satan, the world, and the flesh seek to cheapen, to malign marriage. God states in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14 again, "You shall not commit adultery." This is a direct command, not a suggestion, not optional with God. Marriage is designed by God, one mate of opposite gender, till death do us part. Yes, there are scriptural grounds for divorce, but that should be the exception. And even when there is adultery involved in a marriage, sometimes by the grace of God and with great love and repentance and confession between parties, that even those marriages can remain intact. God is crystal clear on this. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So clear is this that it needs no further explanation. Sexual immorality or fornication can have many forms. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, it says in the NIV version in part, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality." A hint of sexual immorality often leads to habitual sexual immorality. This should not be, especially with God's people. Sexual immorality translates in the original Greek term porneia, from which we get our English word pornography, which is anything written, graphic, or of other forms of communication intended to excite sexually lustful feelings. The Greek pornographos means writing about prostitutes. That's how vulgar this is. How carnal and depraved this is, pornography. This is not a pleasant subject. However, God has revealed much in His book to teach us right from wrong, in an area that people are rather vulnerable to sin. Warnings and cautions abound in Scripture concerning sexual immorality. God knows that we need these warnings and cautions. Certainly, Christians are not immune to all types of sexual sin, especially secret, even mental sexual sin. Consider the warning of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The key word here is lustfully, because to look at a woman or a man and appreciate her beauty or his handsomeness is not a sin. It's when we indulge this looking further into lasciviousness that is lewd, that is vulgar in our thoughts, in our minds, in our imagination, that it becomes sin, sin of the heart, sin of the mind, mental, sexual sin, which should not be. I heard one of our preachers state in a sermon that all men, including all Christian men, have been guilty of this at some point in their lives, and therefore broken God's commandment. This may not be accurate, and how would we know? But most are probably guilty of at least sexual immorality in our minds, mentally, in our imaginations. All sin is moral contamination to God. Mental sin often usually leads to acted out sin. Mental sin can become a mindset. A mindset can become habitual. Both mental and acted out sin are sin. Habitual sin, which is unrepentant, separates us from God forever. Even as Christians, it can break fellowship with God, and we must confess and repent. Today, our society is saturated with sexual imagery and sin and all of the aspects of sexuality today. The media and technology has just mushroomed the saturation of sex in our society. For example, recently I was standing in the grocery line. It was a long line, and I noticed a woman's magazine on the cover with bold letters advertising a tease article. Now, this was a woman's magazine advertising a tease article entitled 10 Reasons to Commit Adultery. And on the cover of the magazine were given the three top reasons to further tease women to buy the magazine. First of all, why would any woman even consider buying this kind of magazine? But anyway, the three top reasons to commit adultery, mind you, on the cover of this magazine were, 1, it's exciting. 2, become a more experienced person. And 3, furs, F-U-R-S, furs. And of course, I wasn't interested to buy or pick up or browse through the magazine to see what the other 7 reasons were, because the very idea of this article was vulgar. And I only repeat this garbage out of the pit of hell to illustrate how loathsome sexual sin has become. Adultery hurts the heart of God and causes havoc for the adulterers and deeply disturbs children, if any. It destroys families. It devastates our society. Adultery is becoming a traitor to your own spouse. And it should not be, whether a Christian or a non-Christian. So is adultery forgivable by God? And what are the consequences for unrepentant adultery and or sexual immorality? We'll consider in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, which reads, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So yes, clearly, all of these sins and every sin genuinely repented of is forgivable by God. And of course, repentance means that we've changed our minds and that we're no longer practicing these sins and continue to ask for forgiveness. And God knows our hearts and our efforts to sin less and less. God knows if we're trying. God knows if we're being honest about our confession and our repentance. And God does forgive. Of course, we still must receive Jesus Christ by faith and thereby put all of our sin, our wholesale sin, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Repentance is an essential part of saving, obedient faith. We not only receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive Him as Lord. And so we have a pattern of obedience in our lives. And when we mess up, we fess up and ask God to forgive us. Any sin, including adultery, or any sexual immorality not under the blood of Christ, not repented of thereby, still being practiced continuously, means eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. God will not be mocked. Marriage is a covenant commitment, as designed by God between a man and a woman, based on trust and integrity for a lifetime of intimate investment in one another, for joyful fulfillment, pleasing to God fully as a Christian, especially as a Christian marries another Christian, now in the church age. The Lordship of God, of Jesus Christ, includes He being Lord and Master of our marriages and our vows to one another before God, commitment to one another as husband and wife, regardless of what comes in the future. Till death do us part, not as is popular today, for as long as we love each other. Disposable relationships, especially in marriages, disparages God and cheapens human beings. No one should be a throwaway person. Never cheat on your beloved. Always cherish your lovemate. Not only does this honor God, but we also honor one another. Always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 18 to 20. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Notice God does not just care about our spirits, but also about our bodies. Remember that any sin we as Christians commit occurs in God's sanctuary, the most holy place where God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Our sin certainly grieves the Holy Spirit, and we can quench the Holy Spirit according to Scripture. Lastly, on her golden or 50th wedding anniversary, she revealed the secret of her long, happy marriage. She said, "On my wedding day, I decided I'd choose 10 of my husband-to-be's faults, and for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook them." So she was asked, what were some of the faults? She admitted, "Well, I never got around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Wise advice for all of us. If we choose to marry, and wherever we are in our marriages, learn to forgive, and our marriages will last. God forgave us in Christ Jesus as Christians, or as those seeking to be part of His family, and so we must learn to forgive one another, for this is God's will and way for all of us."
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
It is important to know that God loves you and He wants you to have your sins forgiven through Jesus. If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you must first believe in Jesus. We find it in the book of Acts that people repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, please write to us and request CD number 2244. That's 2244. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.